Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 and good afternoon. If you're not on the Pacific Coast, good evening, good night, and good morning, because we are worldwide, and you are listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, brought to you at LA Talk Radio Channel 1, and you can also hear us on iHeartRadio, iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Sonos, Google Play, Amazon Alexa, and Spotify. And Jenny's Real Talk on the Block is produced by Get Real Global Entertainment. And our host and our guest here today is author and mentor and speaker, Connie Fife. How you doing today, Connie?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good, good. Before we get started in this conversation, I have an announcement or two real quick. First of all, I want to apologize to the group Resonate. I was supposed to go to their show on July 26th. It's just that certain situations, I wasn't able to make it, and I couldn't get in contact with Jennifer because of the time difference, and she had jet lag. The second thing is Mr. Leonard Goldberg. I was supposed to do his show on Facebook Live, and we had technical difficulties last week, and I apologize to you for that, sir. Whenever we get everything straightened out, I would be happy to have you back on the show to do a second interview. And now to our guest here today is Connie Fife. And Connie Fife is the founder of the Fife Group Speaker Agency, Business Accelerator Academy, and the Activate My Power Community. Connie is also an award-winning podcast host of Up or Out with Connie, a four-time author, international speaker, mentor, and coach. You do a lot of stuff. Thank you for coming to our show today. All right. So what are we here to promote promote Connie? Connie Fife.
To promote Connie Fife, yes. Let's see. Can I give a shout out? I have
Absolutely. Whole
bunch of family, all yes. over family and friends listening.
Please.
From Florida, I want to say hi to Debbie. And New York, I want to say hi to my brother Peter and my brother Tim, my sister Teresa, my daughter Stephanie, my son Michael. Oh, we're not out of breath if I just keep on going, so I think I'll just stop there, Muse.
All right. Yeah, see, that's a lot of people, and you know, I hope y'all listening, man, and then give her respect and shout out to her. You can even call and say hi to Connie at area code 323-203-0815, and call us here if you want to speak to Connie Fife, motivational speaker and author. Thank you very much for showing up today.
I'm thrilled to be here.
All right, so what is it exactly do you do?
What do I do? Wow, some days I'm not quite sure where I'm not quite sure where I start or where I go. The main thing that I do though is I enjoy helping other people find their success. I work with lifestyle entrepreneurs. Basically, it starts at working with somebody that's still in corporate and really struggling and saying, you know what, I just don't want this damn 9-to-5 anymore. I want to get out. I want to find something else to do with my life. And I was there 12 years ago. I was in corporate.
Well, I was reading, like I said, I was reading your bio, and one part that called me was, where is it at? Oh my God. It says I'm sorry. Give me. C-suite experience. So yes. I had to look that up on Google. I love Google. Smartphones is a business, and it said you're executive experience. So CEOs and CFOs, and so you just have a lot of management experience.
Yes, a lot of management, a lot of leadership experience. I was CEO with the Girl Scouts and Penswoods Council back in Pennsylvania.
Ooh, wow.
Did that for a bit. Director mm-hmm. at the Greater Wilkes-Barre Chamber of Commerce, at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. So I have a lot of leadership and management experience. And what had happened with me in 2006, 2007, I found myself out of a job.
Oh, wow. The economy tanked.
The economy tanked. And, you know, those economies of scales. And so I was interviewing for positions. And I like to joke, and it's really true. I was interviewing from Maine to Miami for other positions. And, you know, I'd get down to, like, the final candidate or the final two candidates, and then I wasn't getting the job. I wasn't getting the position. So it was really getting frustrating beyond doubt. And so I took a step back and said, okay, what do I really need to do with my life? Where do I want to go from here? I mean, huge frustration. I mean, I worked up to, you know, a CEO position, but the thing of it at that point was I did not have my college degree.
Right, I understand. Everything but the paper.
I had everything.
All the experience in the world but the paper.
Yep, and they didn't, just having the experience didn't count. They wanted the degree. So I remember sitting there, you know, frustrated and, you know, depressed, and my mother saying, you know, there's a school online you can go to. and I went, oh, okay, well, let's look at that. So I jumped in. I mean, I had a lot of credits because I had started college but then left to become a mom.
Right.
So I had a lot of credits. So I jumped in and went back to school, went to the University of Phoenix.
You and Jennifer are kind of parallel.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, she was on her college way and everything. Yeah. She got college experience and all of this stuff. And the kids came in the way and the family life and stuff. So you guys are parallel.
Yeah, so chose that. And that happens with a lot of women.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, that's happened with many women that started down that path and, you know, got married, had a family, had babies. And, you know, that becomes your priority at that
time. Right, exactly.
So, but after Girl Scouts and interviewing for jobs, they're like, you know, we really want this piece of paper. We know you have the School of Hard Knocks, but you still need to get that piece of paper. So I went to the University of Phoenix, finished my bachelor's degree. And then I said, you know what? Let's just keep on going. And then I got a master's degree.
Wow.
And so after, you know, all of that, I started picking up jobs, consulting and coaching and working with people on business. Mm-hmm. And so I did that, finished my degrees. And about the time I finished my degrees, I was like, okay, so I really need to make a real business out of this.
Okay. You know,
what do we do? And at about that time, we had the opportunity to move to California.
Yay! We love LA.
So my husband's like, well, do you think? I don't know. You know, we have adult kids. Nobody's home now. We have, you know, a 5-bedroom house. Where do we go from here? And, you know, I said, all right, let's move. Let's go.
Right.
And I drove out here with my mom and my two dogs. From Pennsylvania.
Just gassed up and left, huh?
Just gassed up, left, filled the car. The moving trucks were already here, and my husband was already here. And so we made, you know, it was actually the week we drove here was the week that the government shut down.
Oh, wow.
If you remember that.
Yes, I remember. That was under, I think, Obama, yeah.
That's right. Uh-huh. In October, it'll be 5 years. It was October 3rd.
Ooh.
I never forget it.
Right.
Because we're driving. We left on a Monday morning. They were still working the government on Monday morning. And by Tuesday, I remember this so clearly, we were still fine. Wednesday, we're pulling out the exit to Petrified Forest State Park. So my mom could see that.
Ooh.
And there's this big sign. And as I'm reading the sign closed, my son's texting me on my phone saying, Mom, how are you going to get into those parks? and I, you know, before I seen the sign, I went, I'm just going to drive in. Like, they're big parks. It's, you know, the Grand Canyon. It's a big hole. How could they be closed? Well, they were closed.
Oh, man. That's not right.
Big sign, closed. And I said to my mother, I said, they didn't just make those signs overnight.
They knew this was happening.
Yeah. I mean, these signs were enormous.
Oh, really?
They were, like, enormous and tall, so people couldn't climb fences. I mean,
wow. Okay.
And we weren't the only ones standing there looking dismayed. Right. You know, there were other people in motorhomes. And
took pictures of the sign saying closed. Huh?
Yeah, that's what we have. We have a picture of a sign. So, yeah, that's the week we traveled. I'm like, of all weeks. And, you know, my mom wanted to come. And, I mean, her dream was to see the Grand Canyon. And so as we were driving across, she actually got sick, and we made it to California. I ended up taking her to the hospital, and unfortunately, her cancer had returned.
Oh.
And so we did lose her 2 years ago. I better not go there because I will start crying.
That's okay. You know, that's your mom. You're supposed to.
Yes, but it was my mom that, you know, that said, you know, go back to school. Do it. Just do it. And I went back to school, you know, got the confidence, and I can't say I never applied for a job, but at that point I said, you know what, I'm going to start my own business.
Why?
Because people were asking me, they were saying, how are you doing this? How did you get out? And then I was, you know, coaching people, and I remember working with a leadership team, and the one guy in the team, the CFO, says to me, we love your program, but you're not telling us how to get out like you did.
Okay.
I said, I didn't exactly walk out the door.
I got
the kick out the door. So he's like, no, seriously. He's like, you know, what's my plan B? Where do I go from here? And when you talk to a lot of people in corporate, you know, like the Gen Xers, you know, or ages 32 on up, even to baby boomers,
right.
You know, that's their biggest concern. Because the company could let you go any day.
Yeah.
And even
there's
now.
There's nothing to, you know.
Right. There's nothing to keep you there. And then if you stay, you get the golden watch.
That's it. Yeah. If you get that.
Yeah. And that's even disappearing now. And of course, with the economy and the way it's been over the last number of years, it actually helped my business because people are, you know, again, they're living in fear and saying, you know, I want a plan. I want to know where to go. So those are the people that I really enjoy working with in my podcast. That's why it became Up or Out.
Up or Out.
Because originally it was Marketing Masters because I'm, you know, really strong in marketing. But then when I really sat down and started looking at it, and I'm thinking, I was going to call it like the C-suite Mafia. And we were talking about that, like, let's go with the C-suite Mafia.
Right. Yeah. That get people's attention.
Yeah. It got some people's attention that said, please don't call it that. So we went softer. But it's Up or Out with Connie. But the premise of it is you can go up. And you can work hard in corporate. That is great. But the biggest fear people have is, if I get out, where do I go? What do I do? So that's my sweet spot, is helping someone set themselves up to get out. And then when they get out, building up that business. And that's our Business Accelerator Academy. And that's showing them. I go through everything through process and promoting, do the 5 P's. You know, so process, promoting, packaging, a huge accountability component in the academy. And also, you know, somebody comes to me, you know, and says, oh, well, I didn't do that, or I didn't do this, and, you know, and I'm like, why not?
Right.
You know, so I don't sugarcoat it, because, and, you know, people aren't going to work if you do that. So there's a lot of accountability for people to understand what you need to do. And then even down to budgeting. You know, and creating, and again, as an entrepreneur, you're always like, okay, where is the next dollar coming from? So,
oh, God, yeah.
Right? And you know.
Yes, I do.
So, yeah. So with everything that I do, I mean, that's the thing that I do and I love the most. And again, for marketing, I do speaking. My speaking is my marketing.
Oh.
My podcast is my marketing. And to, you know, just to share with people who it is. And then I interview with my agency. I was representing some other speakers over time. And there was a point where I had actually lost my voice for like 6 months. I had no voice at all. That is not good for a speaker.
No.
Not to have a voice.
So you needed a plan C. You had a plan A.
Right.
It fell through. You was doing okay with plan B.
That's right.
And then plan B was like, hold on for a second.
Yeah, so okay, let's go to plan C. So I was representing some people and helping them build their business.
Okay.
And I thought, wow, I think I got a business here.
Good knack to helping people.
Right. So with the academy, so we help people, you know, part of the packaging, you know, do you want to be a speaker? Do you want to be a podcaster? Do you want to be a writer? So I built all of those relationships, you know, with national publishing companies and podcast houses and all of those resources and production teams. So, you know, I have a whole, litany of people on my team that I could, you know, just touch at any moment and say, I got a client, we need to build this out. What can we do to get it there? So like right now, some of my awesome clients, big shout out to, I'm going to get to Andy Kahn, who is with the Turtles.
Okay. Right.
So Andy.
That's the rock band, right?
That's right.
Right.
That's right. And if you want to hear Andy, he is playing this Friday night in Malibu.
Oh, I don't have a car. I know I can't get to Malibu. I would like to go, too.
I'll be there. We're going to do some footage with him and with another client.
Send it to Jennifer.
I'd love to. Then we can get out on the show.
Yeah, definitely.
Winifred Adams, she may be singing along with him that night as well. She's another client, too. Oh. Let's see. Simon Treslin. Simon used to be in covert operations.
Oh.
Yeah, so he's we represent him too. Let's see who else. Dr. Nasser, Moses Nasser.
I think I heard that name before.
Yeah, there's he's in the Upland. I mean, he's all over the place. Moses, yes, you are all over the place. I know he's listening too. Right. But he works in the medical sector, and he talks about customer service and why we need to be nice to people.
Okay, yes.
And so, and it's not just in the medical field and medical groups. It's, anybody, that walks in your door, that you work with, your clients, you need to be treating them with respect.
Yeah, it's word of mouth goes around.
Right, word of mouth goes around. So he does a lot of that around customer service. So, but yeah, this weekend, Andy, Winifred, Simon, they're all going to be there Friday. I'm with them on Saturday. I'm a member of the National Speakers Association. So Saturday, we're going to hang out there. Sunday, we're going to see the Beatles. That's going to be hosted by Bob Eubanks.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. We're just busy. All over the place. We're busy. I get to know my clients pretty well. So with all of the aspects of my business and what I do, so, we have the Fife Group, which is the umbrella company, and then we have the Business Accelerator Academy. And again, we train people to go into one of those areas, and then we represent them through the agency. And then again, like I said, I have my own podcast and I do my own speaking as well.
Oh, wow. That's very, man, you are so, so busy. Do your clients, how should I say? I don't know. How do you pick your clients? Do they come to you, or do you like go out and search for them, or?
It's a combination.
Like in general, like you out and you might hear a conversation with somebody,
right.
You might go up and talk to them, but like, oh, I hear you in this type of business.
Mm-hmm.
I can maybe help you. Let's get together.
Right. It's a lot of that. It's a lot of the conversations and marketing today isn't, I mean, picking up the phone is still relevant,
mm-hmm.
Picking up the phone, but people don't always answer their phone anymore.
No, I know.
It's like, who's calling? Oh my God. Oh yeah. No, look at the phone. See who it is. So the way, marketing is just so, so different today than what it used to be. So it's all about building those relationships. So just like podcasting, and I heard another very prominent podcaster say he loves podcasting because it's an immediate connection to someone, whether they're sitting in their office, sitting in their car, sitting, in their home or in their living room. It's an immediate, intimate connection with that person. So they know who you are. So they're hearing you. They're hearing your voice. And that's when I do my podcasting. I'll do an audio and I'll do a video because now not only do they hear me, they're also then they could see me when we put that out there as well.
It actually helps, people to relate, You wonder when somebody looks like on the radio, like, I don't know, But then they'll know you. It's more, I think, to me, it's kind of more personal if you have a video, because then people can actually see you
right.
And kind of know what you look like and everything,
Right, right. So, yeah, as we snap our pictures.
Yeah.
The other marketing I do, again, is my speaking.
Okay.
So I do speaking, and I'll use that platform, again, to get to know people. And I'm very selective on the speaking engagements that I do. A lot of the speaking engagements that I focus on is for women.
Okay.
Because I also, there's a program, I have a community activating the power of women. So, you know, that's specifically for women that we do. So I do a lot of speaking at women associations, women's programs, and then I'll speak at organizations that focus on the entrepreneur. And that's when where you're going to find people going there and saying either they want to scale their business because they're already an entrepreneur and, you know, how do I reach the $1 million round table? How do I get there? They're looking for that secret sauce. Or it's somebody saying, hey, you know, I really want to step into that space, but I don't know what it is that I want to do. And I find that interesting because, like I said, back 12 years ago, I had no clue what I was going to do. I was like, what? I remember hiring a business coach because I became a seminar junkie. And I was going and learning as much as I can about online programs and online training and online courses. And then I hired myself a coach, Dan Miller, and he's in Tennessee. And I remember driving there from Pennsylvania thinking, I don't know how I'm paying for this. I don't know where I'm staying, but I'm going because like five people have told me I need to go here. And so I drove. I told my husband, I'm like, okay, I'm driving to Tennessee. He's like, okay.
See you later.
See you when you get back.
Oh, wow.
And I drove there, and I remember Dan Miller saying to me, he's like, you've been in corporate for over 25 years, and you have nothing? And it was like a light bulb went off, and I went back to Pennsylvania, and a week later, my first book was published.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, you was already writing the book when?
No.
You just went home and just started on the book.
I just went home and started on the book.
Now, are these, I've seen you've got four books so far, right?
Right, right.
So they're all the same type of self-help books or motivational books?
The current one, the very, very first one that I did, before I even had this conversation with Dan, so I will back up a little bit. I know I don't always refer to it as a book, but I really should because it's my number one selling book on Amazon.
Good.
I finally got my first like real speaking engagement. It was at the Georgia Called Women's Conference. And they called me 3 days ahead of going to the conference and saying, well, what size table do you want for your book sales? And I'm thinking, my what? I'm like, my what? Yeah. And they're like, yeah, your book sales. You know, you can come and, you know, and sell books. And I went, they're like 6-8 foot table. I'm like, oh, 6 will be fine.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was like, well, what do I do? So what I ended up doing, I put together in a day. I put together an 86 book. It's probably about the size of my cell phone. Mm-hmm. And I put it together in quotes and affirmations and daily goal sheets. So it's more of a self-help motivational. I sent it to a local printer that I worked with for years and said, I'll pick it up tomorrow on the way to the airport. And he said, would you want to proof it? No, I just wrote the next novel. I am good.
Uh-oh.
I got this. I'm good. So as a good Girl Scout, I go to the printer and I have my twine and tape and stuff to wrap up the box. Think it's going to be this large box and I'm taking it on the airport. I pick it up and it's the size of a shoebox.
Small, a lot smaller than you thought.
And I was like, oh, is this one? Because I'm thinking, like I said, I was just like, this wrote this like novel. And he's like, no, that's your 100 copies in that shoebox. I was like, okay. So I get on the plane. I couldn't even have time to open, you know, to look at it. I get on the plane. I get to Atlanta. I get to the hotel. I open it. And the very front cover, always proof your work.
Okay.
The very front cover, my name was spelled in some funky, you couldn't even read it. And I'm like, oh, what the hell is this?
Oh.
I don't know what this is. And the pages were off. And so I go to the conference. I have my books with me. And I see, you know, all of the other ladies got their tables, their fancy books. And I'm thinking, oh, dear God, what do I do? But then I remembered there was a florist up the street.
Okay.
So I left. I ran to the florist and stopped at, I think, Walmart and got some table covers and some fancy stuff for the tables. I went to the florist and I got this real big floral display.
Right.
That took up the entire table. And then, because they're like, where's your books? Where's your books? So then I'm like taking the books and I'm hiding them in the flowers.
Oh, wow.
And then I took out a piece of paper and created a name, like a table tent, and then I wrote free on it.
Oh.
For the books. I'm right. Like, I just got to give these guys away. One of the speakers, she comes over and she picks up the free and she's like, you can't give these books away for free. And I went, oh, yes, I can.
They wasn't proof for her.
They're going for free. And she's like, no. She goes, you need to put a price on these. And she goes, you need to give yourself a value.
Hmm. Wow.
I'll never forget that.
Right.
I don't remember her name, but I will never forget her advice.
The advice was golden.
So I said, okay, I took the same piece of paper and I crossed off free and I wrote $5. Now we're pricing up, right?
Yeah, not down, yeah.
Right? I put that and she was, oh, no. She takes my Sharpie and she crosses off the $5 and she puts $10. And I was like, I can't sell these for $10. And she's like, honey, she goes, trust me. So I do my speech, up to my speech, it was quiet. Like nobody was coming. Like people would talk to me. But of course, I'm like, oh, no, you don't want to buy this. Let me just give it to you. So then I do my speech. And then afterwards, I sold all 100 copies of that book.
Ooh, for gas money.
I know, I had gas money to get home for the $10 each. And I had an order for another 120 books.
Ooh.
That I later, mailed out. And that book is on Amazon. Like I said, it's one of, it continues. But it's just a little booklet.
And did you proofread it and got your name right and everything?
The name is right. Well, it turned out the lettering was Greek. It was how it printed out. It was Greek font. So,
okay.
And then we did change it. And I love riding horses, so I got a picture of me like a silhouette on my horse, and so that's on the cover of the book. Yeah, we fixed it up a little. So that's there. And then the next book was, and again, and when Dan said you have nothing, and I'm thinking, oh, well, I'm always writing proposals and sponsorship kits and asking for money, and so I wrote The Art of the Ask, getting to your fundraising dollars, from nonprofits.
I need that book.
And then the next one was The Art of the Ask, but I started shifting more of a workbook, providing example scripts for telephone, scripts for proposals and sponsorships, and it was a much, much larger book. And then the next one, Marketing Masters. So that was all about, again, marketing tools. And I've actually did one. It's the action plan, but I wrote it, but it's really I keep it for the academy. So it's a book that I give them because there's a lot of tools in there. It's like a 286 book, but it's a workbook, and to get them to think through, what are your dreams and where do you want to be? What's your financial position? What situation look like? And it takes them through. And the one thing that I had learned from some of the training that I did was, getting people to understand their past. And who, because we have a lot of junk in our past. Mm-hmm. And,
junkyards.
Yeah, junk football field. I had a lot of that myself that I had to work through. And so, because I knew it was important, and we tend to work with our mirror image.
Okay.
And that's how we can relate so well with people. So, a lot of the lot that I work with, it doesn't matter from the janitor to some, the C-suite, we all have that, that junk. So I take them and I have them do an exercise to help them understand their past, who they are, where they came from. I did that several times because the first time I did it, I didn't realize that I had a different father. So I did it, and then that all came out, and I was like, oh, I gotta do that again. So I did that, and got an understanding, got to meet more of my family. So it was a bit of a journey for me for those, for that period of time. So that's why I knew it gave me clarity.
Okay.
And that's why it's so important. Like I said, everybody has something, get them to understand. So that's one of the most powerful tools that we go through in the academy. So, you know, having people, again, understanding who they are, where they come from. And, you know, you that stuff comes with you forward. But the key is that you recognize it and know when to shift it.
Oh, wow.
So use it, but use it where it becomes a positive for you, for your future.
That sounds like they say when you go job training or when they try to get you to go, get, you know, practice for jobs and stuff. Like that. That's what that sounds like.
Yeah. A lot of it there. You know, some of the academy, you know, some people are stuck or maybe they've lost their job. So we do get into a little bit of that, of, you know, of the career training, but I'm not a career coach. I mean, I'm business, you know, it really gets in the business.
Entrepreneurs,
right. For lifestyle entrepreneurs that say, what's my passion? Where do I go? And then, you know, the other thing is, okay, I don't know what my passion is. And, you know, so my question is, okay, same thing Dan did to me, basically. Okay, well, you've been working in this job for 20, 30 years and you have nothing. So, you know, maybe, you know, you have a hobby of flying airplanes, you know, is it a business that you can make out of that? And actually I had a client that actually ended up doing that out of hobby airplanes. But is there something that you did in the job that you can bring forward, you know, that transference of skills that you can create a business around?
Oh, wow, yeah.
Okay, because sometimes people are lost, and they're looking and looking and don't know where to go, but you already have it in you. It's what is it that we can bring out that's going to help you make a business? Because a lot of entrepreneurs have passion. They just have passion. They want to do something. And that's why my speaking agency is so successful, because most entrepreneurs have the passion to deliver. They just don't know how to sell. They don't know how to market themselves. They don't know the business part of it, the business aspect of it. So that's where we come in.
Okay. We are talking with Connie Fife, speaker, author, and mentor. We'll be right back from a word from a couple of our sponsors.
Hey, this is Desiree Duffy from Black Chateau Enterprises, and you're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block on LA Talk Radio, Channel 1, iHeartRadio, and iTunes.
LA Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at MBMMusicLLC.com. That's MBMMusicLLC.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
This is Aunt Rose Goldfarb, and I'm on the bus to the casino. You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block on LA Talk Radio, Channel 1, and iHeart Radio. Oh, Lord. Hey, this is Aunt Rose Goldfarb, and I'm on my way to the casino. I got my bottle of whiskey and my pack of Luckies, so I think I'm good. I'm gonna get lucky today. I can feel it. Anyway, you're listening to my niece Jenny's Real Talk on the Block on LA Talk Radio, Channel 1, and iHeart Radio. All right. Hope you get lucky, too.
All right. And we are back with Connie Fife, author and mentor and speaker. All right. So, it's just fascinating to me because I'm a lifelong Californian. I've been here almost all of my life. I lived in Texas for a couple of years, but it's just, I meet so many people from different places when I'm here. And like a lot of people say what you say. I said, how you end up in Los Angeles? Well, I just kind of decided I wanted to go to California. It's like, I mean, and you have it in your bio. You just decided to just pack up and come to California. I mean, what was was it something that you seen? I mean, why didn't you go to like the Miami or maybe Dallas or?
Because my husband's job was here.
Oh, okay. He was already, you know, going commuting back and forth between Pennsylvania.
He was already going back and forth, and we were actually in the process of selling our home. We were downsizing to a much larger beach house, or lake house. Not
lake house.
Not beach. We're dreaming beach, but no, lake house. In Pennsylvania, only have lakes. and the sellers decided they wanted to delay selling. And we sold our house. And I was actually here on Rodeo Drive when the realtor called and said, your house was just sold. I remember looking at my husband, because at that point, we were only window shopping.
Right.
He wouldn't even let me get out of the car. and I looked at him and I went, we're going shopping.
Yeah, we got to cut a couple extra dollars now.
And he was still like, no, we're not doing that.
We got a couple of dollars. We just sold a house.
But the plan still wasn't, again, to move out here because he was doing the commuting back and forth with this company. And I said, well, I guess I'm homeless. What do I do? I'm not quite sure what I do now. So we put everything in our house in storage, and I stayed with my mom.
In Pennsylvania,
okay. Which was supposed to be 3 months. It turned into a year and a half.
Oh, boy.
And, it was very good. Glad that I did that. Got to spend that time with her. And then we were waiting for the people that were selling the lake house to say, okay, we're ready now.
But this was a year, right?
It was a year and a half because they kept calling and saying, we're not ready. And it was a private sale. You know, it was a friend of a friend. And the day my husband came home, and so we said, well, let's take a ride up to the lake house, see if they're around, and let's see what's going on, because, you know, it's great living with mom, but we need to decide what we're doing. Everything's in storage, and if I needed something, I'd say, I'd be right back. I got to go right up to my closet. You know, I was calling the storage my closet. I'd run up there and get something.
Oh,
and
that was a trick.
So we went to visit the lake house, and they weren't home. And there was no phone service up there. And then, you know, when we started driving back down into the valley, people in Scranton understand that. The phone rings, and it's the people, or my husband and I are having a conversation, and he said, you know, he goes, we could just move to California. He goes, we could just do that. And I just looked at him and I said, okay, let's go.
Why not? Yeah.
Let's go. Well, you know, what's all that goes back? You know,
nothing.
Right. Let's go. And about within like seconds, the people called and said, okay, we're ready to sell the house.
Oh.
And I didn't even hesitate. And I said, sorry, we're going to California.
Right.
Yeah.
Waiting on you. You know, I don't like that either. You know, we had an agreement within a certain amount of time. We're supposed to have this agreement. And then you take a year and a half. I don't even want the house no more.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, no, we decided we're moving on. So
yeah.
That was June. So he had come out here. So he was staying out here already. And I waited until October.
Mm-hmm.
And so
and
then.
And drove out with your mom.
And then, you know, then we drove out. But yeah, we're just like, I'm just going to jump in. I wasn't even taking anybody with me. I was just jumping in the car at my dog's and going. And, you know, it was my mother. She was like, well, you're not driving alone. I was like, oh, yeah, I can. I do it all the time. I drive to Kentucky by myself and all over. And so she's like, no, I'm going to go with you. And she goes, I want to see Niagara Falls. But
wow.
Fortunately, it didn't happen. So there was just no hesitation. But again, my husband's company was out here. His job was out here. So the only thing he asked me when we came out looking for where we were going to live, the only thing he asked me, please keep it close to my office so I don't have to get on the 10.
Right. Where he works in downtown?
No, actually, he's up in Rancho Cucamonga. So that's why we're in Rancho Cucamonga. So we're only 2 miles from where he works, and he just takes the back road. He doesn't have to get on the 10. So he's golden.
Right.
But I remember coming out here.
So he's probably coming out of Ontario Airport then, the commute?
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. Mostly Ontario Airport. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If we have to go to LAX, it's like, okay.
I'm going tomorrow.
Yeah.
To pick up the wife. Yeah.
Yeah, LAX. Oh, yeah.
Yay!
The traffic here. That's just, that and sticker
expand.
Shock.
You know they want to expand, right?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, they want to tear that. And I mean, how big do you want your airport? Good Lord.
How big do you want the highways? I mean, they're expanding 4-lane highways is 6, 7. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
One day, I don't know what happened. Something happened on the 10 freeway. And I was delivering, I was flower delivery at the time.
Okay.
And they had the 10 empty from, basically from downtown. I don't know if you drove the 10 that much.
Yeah, I do.
From the like downtown going west to like maybe Western. I was the only car.
Oh, you know something was wrong.
I said, what happened? They only let certain, only a couple of cars on. And I was like, oh my God.
You knew something was wrong. When I was visiting my husband when I came out, I mean, for 2 years I was visiting. I was on vacation every month. I was like, this is great. He says to me, now I'm not used to the area. And, and I wanted to get around and look around and see things. And, we knew we were going to be coming out here, moving out here. And he says to me, just don't get on the 10. He goes, it's a death highway. This is like what he's telling me. You don't want to get on the 10. So I'm driving down the road and I'm thinking I'm turning on this like a side street.
Yeah.
And I turn, I'm on the 10. Here I am. Oh my God, I'm on the 10. I got to get off the 10.
Hurry up and get off the exit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I have been rear-ended twice.
On the highway?
On the 10. I have an FJ Cruiser, so I sit up high.
Okay.
We were going to sell that.
The truck. That's a.
It's a truck body.
I'm trying to think. It's a Chevy or something.
No, Toyota.
Toyota. I knew it was one of them. It's an older one, right?
Yeah, they did stop making them a couple years ago. So okay. Yeah, I think mine's like five years old.
Got that iron bumper sitting up kind of high. So
we were gonna sell it and get we gotta fit in with the California look and get a sports car.
Keeping with
car.
The Joneses.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, we're keeping with the Toyota.
Right.
Because I think it was 6 months here, and I was going to National Speaker Conference meeting, and I get rear-ended.
Oh wow!
And I could feel the back of it lift up. And I'm just like, okay. And I'm like, I don't see a car. He must really be under me. So I, we're on the 10. No, we're on the 605, I think. I was on the 605. And I, I'm trying to see the guy. Well, he pulls out. And I could feel the truck
wheels
jack down.
Yeah.
And he just takes off.
She must have had no insurance.
That's what I said. Yeah. It must have been no insurance. So I called my husband when I got to where I was going, my destination. I called him and I said, honey, I said, I was in an accident. He's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yes. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with the Toyota. And guess what? We're not selling. We're keeping it.
Right.
I don't want those little cars because we'll be underneath somebody else's truck.
Yeah, that's, I've seen the house I grew up in, I've seen a lot of it's like a turn, a curve, right?
Yeah.
It's a straightaway, and then it gets a curve to the end of this driveway, man. And the neighbor's house is on the curb, and you risk your car parking there, man.
Really?
My sister had one of her boyfriend's car got totaled.
Oh, no.
People come around there. I remember your truck reminded me of someone hit a Datsun. Remember the Datsun cars?
I remember a Datsun.
The Datsun pickup sitting up high, and somebody came around that corner and hit that Datsun truck. Nothing happened. I think they broke the taillight or something.
Oh, really?
On the Datsun, but that car they hit was like.
Well, we didn't have that growing up. The concern we had growing up were my brothers sneaking out at night and taking my mom's car for joyrides.
Ooh.
And I know they're listening to that one.
Oh, you finna get in trouble now. Grab the switch. that whooping, stealing cars.
That was their fun. Oh, good Lord. Yeah.
I didn't do that. I really didn't have to, I was able to get around, they gave me their cars and they bought me a car when I was like 16 or 17. I had a car. So I was
You did.
I didn't really have to.
Well, let me ask you a question. And since, yes. I mean, you're native to California.
Yeah.
And I mean, people they come here and it's like a vacuum. Nobody leaves.
No. some people get real frustrated then they leave. But the people that I see leave, come back.
The
people that I say, man, I'm tired of California. I'm going to leave California.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, all right. I love you, bro. Have a nice life. Mm-hmm. They come back. Very few people leave. Stay gone.
I mean, people come, want the dream. We actually had somebody staying with us last fall.
Mm-hmm.
One gal from England, and then he was from Toronto, and ran into them. They needed a place to stay. I'm like, hey, I'm going to be away for a few weeks. If you could dog sit for me.
Oh, wow.
So it worked out. Exactly. But he wanted to, you know, live the dream. He wanted to be an actor. And so, and now he's struggled with it, but we did get him back to Toronto.
Yeah. It's hard, man. You just, yeah. You know, it's probably better if you know independence and try to, you know,
because
you got a lot of people acting, you know, it's just. I can imagine I'm not going to try that myself. You know, we're going to try to do our own stuff, you know, but I don't really want to try to go out and try to be an actor like that. Cause I can imagine, you know, how many jobs there
it's
are.
It's tough.
I can imagine, you know,
it's
you got,
tough.
You know, one role, you got 50 people trying out for one role,
right.
You know, and just like, you know, and it's dependent on what the producers are looking for.
Yeah.
Like,
God. And I mean, I've made some good friends, some actor friends. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they've been doing it a while, but it's, you know, they're still an entrepreneur.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's exactly what they're still doing. But, you know, they're still, you know, got to, you know, get out there and sell it and chase it and, you know, find their next
booking. About 3 weeks ago, we had an actor here, Gino Montesino. That's his name? Yeah, Montesitos. He was here. We've had, I remember that. You remember the show Growing Pains?
Yeah.
The younger son of Growing Pains, okay. Jeremy, I believe his name is Jeremy something. He was here. He's been on our show before.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So
okay,
it's
cool.
Like, you know, and they talk about, you know, their struggles, you know,
right.
of trying to get, you know, gigs and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, but I guess if it's worth it, you know, if you get your name up there.
Right. Right.
If I was to do it, I think I would start like try to be like a stage actor.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would help, you know what I mean? Especially learning your lines because you got to do it in front of a live audience
study.
And stuff. Yeah. I think that would be better. I think those type of people probably get in work more also.
Okay.
You know, I would think so because, you know, everybody's not going to be able to read the lines and remember them like
that. No, what I found interesting with him, so like I said, we helped him out a bit, and you know, and then he was doing the back and forth, you know, into the city from Rancho. He started doing so all of these something I learned. So I've been on Dancing with the Stars.
Ooh,
I've been
all right.
in the audience.
thought you was on stage doing the Watusi.
I actually was there when I went. And they had me sit in front with Drew Carey's family, and then right when they were starting, Max was sitting on my lap. But none of that got on television.
Damn.
I know. My family's watching. Even my daughter. I said, I'm gonna wear a bright yellow dress. Look,
so everybody can see me.
And she's like, Mom, I didn't see him. And so I said,
and you
did
know,
you see Max sitting
out?
On me? No, I didn't see that either.
And you know, come to find out, because we've done what is those shows? We do stand-in sometimes.
Yeah, that's what I learned. Jake shared with me.
You don't really, they don't want you like ultra bright like that. They want you to kind of blend in.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, okay, that's how they want it. You know, they don't really want it like actually out there like that.
Yeah, that was something I learned from him, from Jake. He's like, I just go and I wait and I'm stand-ins. I get fed lunch and I get a couple bucks.
Yeah,
like,
thank you very much. Gas money.
Right. I could get back on the train and get up there. So I think that was interesting when I learned that. And a lot of shows do that. Like
we've seen, what is his name? I've actually seen Tom Arnold.
Okay.
Stand up.
Yeah.
Funny guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We seen him in downtown actually, and I got paid to see him. That was good.
Oh, that was good. Yeah. Very it's nice. Good when they pay you to see him.
Yeah.
We actually have a couple comedians on our agency that we represent.
Oh, good.
Debbie Wooten. She's in a wheelchair, and she is hysterical because she talks about she had polio as a child.
Oh, wow.
And she talks about her disability, and it is
I pee
my pants. She does, she does stand up, but she's mostly up in the Portland area. But we're working, you know, to get her down here more. But she's
definitely
all over the
come
place.
Down, man. You know, bring on the show. Definitely.
Yeah. She just blows me away whenever I talk to her. I was like, I don't, you know, because we'll have having a conversation and she'll say something, and I have to stop myself and say, did you just say what I thought you just said?
Oh, I'm sorry to cut this off. The show actually is almost over. We got like a minute left.
Oh, this has been awesome.
Yes, this is very nice. We have been talking to, or I have been talking to, Arthur, speaker, mentor, Connie Fife. We have been talking about her motivations and her story about her life. Connie, before we go, can you tell everybody how they can reach you?
How they can reach me very easily. You can go to, go to Fife Group, my website, but it's not up right now, so let's not go there. We're doing a lot of rebranding, a lot of rework on that. But you can go to activatemypower.com.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and then, of course, on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, just look for Connie Fife. And Fife is spelled with a P-H-E-I-F-F. Because I is always before E, except in Fife.
It's E-I-F-F?
It's E-I-F-F.
See, she had it backwards. See,
Everybody does. Everybody does. But yeah, it's P-H-E-I. Right. But if you just look for, you know, again, Connie Fife, no matter how you spell Fife, you will find me because I have our SEO set up that way.
All right. So thank you very much, Connie Fife. Yay! We really enjoyed the conversation.
You're very smart
and intelligent, and I'm very happy for you to spend your quality time and your busy schedule to come down to my humble show. Thank you very much, Connie Fife.
Thank you, Muse. Glad to be here.
Thank you. This has been Jenny's Real Talk on the Block. I'm your host, JJ the Muse. Jennifer will be back next week, 3 o'clock, same time, same channel. Thank you very much. See you later. Bye.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Tell me, time goes by because you had a lot to talk about. That's why I really glad that she gave me a guest that had a lot, you know, a lot of things going on.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.
Katie Collins is becoming like my best friend. I'm actually...